Hello and welcome everybody to Tap Room Talks. This is Wim Benz, president and founder of Lakewood Brewing Company. I have one sip of beer.
You're gonna get it. Oh, I can't wait to the fifth beer.
Oh Christ. Hello and welcome everybody to Tap Room Talks. This is Wim Benz, president and founder of Lakewood Brewing Company. In the studio with me this month, we have Craig Bradley and Zach Phillips, who are our creative department.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, guys. Hey, you know what? It's never too early to start thinking about summer snacks. So speaking of summer snacks, nothing goes with beer like cheese. A lot of people think that wine and cheese are the perfect pairing. No.
They're wrong.
We disagree.
Tis not so. Beer and cheese are much better together, and to talk about that, we have Tyler Kanan here from Scardello Artisanal Cheese, and we're going to be doing beer and cheese pairing during this podcast, and I wish you guys could see what's laid out in front of us right now. We have all kinds of different yummy looking cheese. We got beer to go with it, and we have bread. It is the perfect monk's picnic. Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a good show.
This is going to be a real good show. I'm very excited about it. And as always, we're going to be answering your listener questions. So if you ever have any questions for us, just reach out to podcast@lakewoodbrewing.com and send us your questions. Okay, so let's start talking about cheese. Thank you guys again for joining us here, and thank you, Tyler, for joining us as well, our DFW cheesemonger extraordinaire. Why don't you tell us what the heck a cheesemonger is?
Well, a cheesemonger is essentially somebody that sells you cheese. My job, take care of cheese, cut cheese, sell cheese, and do everything cheese-related.
That's so awesome.
Tell us how you got into cheese.
I have a weird journey to cheese. As I've been saying recently, I didn't choose the cheese life. The cheese life chose me.
Yes.
Never does.
I had spent a lot of time working in sports, spent some time working at the Rangers ballpark, but that was not working out for me. And I just wanted something kind of refreshing and enjoyable. And fortunately, Scardello took me on, even though I knew absolutely nothing about cheese or wine or beer. I just knew I liked to eat and drink beer and eat cheese. And it's been nothing but fun ever since.
That's awesome. And we've had, us as the brewery, have a pretty long history with Scardello. One of our first tastings that we ever had before we were even open, we had a sampling at Scardello back when they had just opened.
It was like March of 2012. That was a long time ago.
It was very, very hot. I think it might have been May.
Maybe April or something, but I remember
it was a hot day.
Temptress was out, and people kept asking for that 9% imperial stout. Yep. We were like, "What the hell?"
You know, beer and cheese just go so incredibly well together. You know, traditionally, if you're living with the monks, you got some cows out back. You're growing some barley in a field. You're gonna make bread. You're gonna make cheese, and you're gonna drink beer, and you're gonna live a happy, happy life.
It's another artisan product.
All right. Well, let's talk cheese. Let's talk about the first cheese that we're looking at.
So, I figured the best way to start this off is to start with my favorite cheese available at Scardello. This is called the Stag. It's a cloth-bound cheddar out of Wisconsin. What we'll find out later on, I have another cheddar in the lineup, but this is a traditional cloth-bound cheddar, so they wrap it in cheesecloth, but they actually cover it with wax. And then when it's set for aging for about 17 months, it's in a wooden box. So you're not going to get a whole lot of the earthy, grassy components like you would in a true English-style cheddar. This is going to be a very clean cheese. It's going to be nice and sweet, which I have a sweet tooth, so it works well for me. But it's going to be very, very toffee and caramel-like, which I think is the best way to start it off.
So tell us about what defines a clean cheese. You know, we talk about clean beer. What makes a clean cheese?
To me, this feels clean just because it's nice and light, because it's not overly grassy or earthy. Sometimes that overwhelms a cheese to me. And this is cow's milk, so it's very buttery and smooth. Sometimes if it's sheep or goat, you can get some flavors that are tangy, gamey. And I think the fact that it is cow's milk just makes it super smooth and enjoyable.
Yeah, so we're pairing it with Alcohol, our Kolsch style beer that we make. It's also a very clean beer, so I think it does pair well. So I'm gonna step away from the mic for a second and have a sip.
Yeah, that's really good with that Kolsch.
So the thing about beer and cheese versus wine and cheese, one of the advantages beer has over wine is it has effervescence. It has bubbles. So the nice thing about pairing it with a cheese like cheddar, which, you know, tends to, and really with any cheese, tends to kind of coat your tongue, is that the scrubbing bubbles in the beer will lift all of that off of your tongue, and you'll actually be able to taste the pairing a lot more than you would with wine. With wine, it's, you know, if you have cheese coating your tongue, the wine is just going to slip right over it, and you're really not going to get the full effect of the wine flavor. Whereas with beer, those little CO2 bubbles are actually lifting all the cheese off of your tongue and combining, so you really get the full experience of the combination of all the flavors. So getting into the
bubbly side of things, we like to say bubbles love butterfat. Mm-hmm. So I did bring one cheese today that's my wild card, just to kind of play it out and see what it does for all the different beers. It's called Mount Tam. This is a triple cream out of Cowgirl Creamery in California. Triple cream meaning it's just going to be 75% or higher butterfat content. Super buttery and smooth. The rind on it is nice and bloomy and white. It's going to be a little more mushroomy and earthy. Just tasting this beer, I think it'd be a good match.
Well, I'm game. Let's try that.
Heck yeah.
Yeah, so this almost looks like stick of butter. I mean, it's very, very melty. It looks like room temperature butter.
Yeah, I get in the after when you take a sip of that alcohol, it almost has that kind of like sweet little grassy, fruity kind of component coming through. Yeah. I mean, that beer already has a little bit of that, but it just has this nice, clean finish after that cheese. So, what do you think? Butterfat for the win?
Butterfat for the win.
Yeah, more of that, please.
So, tell us about the cheese selection at Scardello. Is it mostly American? Where's all the cheese coming from? And who makes the cheese? And who, you know, tell us about the cheese world. We know a lot about the beer world. Tell us about the cheese world.
So, the cheese selection at Scardello, Oaklawn. We do have two locations now. But Oaklawn, we have about 150 different types of cheese. We're probably about 50-50 domestic to foreign. We like to show off artisanal and farmstead cheeses. Farmstead cheese is going to be somebody that raises the cattle or the sheep or the goats. They get the milk and then they make the cheese and they do it all themselves. Artisanal is going to be if you had the cows and made the milk and then you sold your milk to me and then I made the cheese. You know, we just like to show off the handmade products. The farmers that make this stuff, they're dedicated to the craft and it shows. I mean, if I had brought some industrial cheese in here and did side by side, it'd be mind boggling the difference.
Yeah.
You can really taste, you know, the terroir. You hear that a lot in wine. You know, tasting some of the quality of the land that the animals are raised on, and when you have a really nice cheese, you can taste all of that.
You know, I just ate the rind on the that high butterfat. I'm just gonna call it butterfat cheese because it was awesome.
That's not good.
I'm just kidding. Oh.
Completely edible.
That'll kill you.
Oh, God.
No.
I think it's almost key for that cheese because you got to introduce that rind because it's going to be mushroomy, earthy, and it makes it a little more complex.
Yeah. So what reminded me of that, you know, and flavors and aromas really are a trigger for memory, right? I spent a lot of time at my grandma's house when I was living back in Belgium, and it was really kind of a family compound. It was my grandma and grandpa, grandpa's sister, grandpa's mother, another sister, and then across the street were my mom's cousins. So we had this little compound, and one of the sisters, they had a barn out back, and they raised cattle. So eating that rind, you kind of get that sort of barny essence, you know.
It's barnyardy. It's one of my favorite descriptions.
Yeah, and we get a lot of barnyard out of Brett beers, right? So Brettanomyces is a type of yeast that we use in some of our wild ales, and that aroma of Brett beer is also described as barnyardy or earthy or horse blanket. So eating that rind kind of reminded me of that, and it does kind of take you back. For me, you kind of get transported to a place in time, which is kind of cool. You know, that's the great thing about any food that reminds you of a memory or triggers up a memory. So that was fun. Thank you for that journey.
Yeah, I'm glad I could help you with that. So speaking of aromas, though, with these cheese, there is a lot going on. So I did set these all out before we started just because you want it to be at room temp. Room temp is the best service because you can smell more, allow you to taste more. And then as we work into some of the harder cheeses, once you break those open and smell them at the break point, you're going to get a lot of those volatiles that are going to be important in getting the full effect.
So while Craig is getting the second beer ready, let's kind of talk about serving temperatures. Oh, yeah. Get the full effect.
Yeah, you see? We can keep it on there.
All right, keep going.
Go ahead. No. It's Craig's first time opening a bottle.
Yeah.
You had one job, Craig.
There we go. Serving temperature is very important, not obviously for cheese, which I just found out, but also for beer. So beer is, you know, it's a living, breathing thing, and we put a lot of time and effort as brewers putting a lot of flavor into beer, and that's what sets craft beer apart. You want to be able to taste all the cool ingredients that we put in our beer. So the temperature of the beer is actually pretty important. You know, if you're gonna drink Temptress, I like Temptress almost at room temperature. I mean, just slightly chilled, like you'd drink a, you know, a nice big red wine. On the flip side of that, you go to something like Alcohol Kolsch or Lakewood Lager, you can drink those a little bit quicker, yeah, at a cooler temperature.
Nice and cool.
You know, I think what is a recommended serving temp for lager? I think it's, what's it say on the bottle?
Lager's like 40, 45.
Well, this feels perfect. I think this is the exact
one. Yeah, right?
It looks perfect, too.
It does look perfect.
I keep it real fresh.
Real fresh.
I love the coppery color.
Yeah. It's a really yummy beer.
But don't take our word for it.
But don't take our word for it.
You can take my word for it.
Go to your local retailer.
So for me, this beer, with aroma and flavor, I got a lot of caramel.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And maltiness. And so this is one moment where I really wanted to find a cheese that had some similar flavor profiles. So what I have up next is an Irish Gouda. And with Goudas, they will typically wash the curd to get rid of a little bit more whey and then release some lactic acid, so there's not really much acidity going on with it. But that's going to provide a much sweeter cheese.
So let's talk about how you make cheese. Let's get down to the basics. Cheese starts with milk.
Yes, it does.
Then what happens? How do you get the cheese out?
Well, with an artisanal cheese, it's only going to be four ingredients. So you start with milk, obviously. There's four major milk types. We got cow, goat, and sheep. Do any of you have an idea what the fourth one is?
Human.
Cat's milk?
I knew somebody was going to say cat.
Yeah. No, I'm going to guess.
You can milk meat, Greg.
No, thanks. I'm going to guess.
It's got to be a mammal.
Something weird like alpaca or llama or
buffalo?
Something.
Water buffalo.
Oh, yeah. Whoa. What's up? What's up?
God. I should have known buffalo.
So after the milk, you got starter cultures, which is like a bacterial cocktail that kind of gets the cheese-making process started. After that, you're going to introduce rennet, which is an enzymatic coagulant, and that's what's going to turn the milk into curds. I did leave out salt. Salt is important.
Mm, okay.
And then once you get the curds, you're going to cut those into small pieces, and then you're going to start separating the curd from the whey. And then after that is when you can do all sorts of fun things with the aging process. It all depends on if you want it to be, you know, a fresh cheese like the Mount Tam. That one's probably 60 days aged.
Mm-hmm.
I think the oldest cheese here is this one that we just tried, the Kulea. That one's 18 to 24 months. I actually had a recent experience. I went out to a Veldheisen cheese shop out in Dublin, Texas, and got to get my hands dirty, get in and cut the curd, and then separate that. It goes through a cheddaring mill. After that, then we put it into molds so that they could cheddar them, so press out more of the whey. But it's a very interesting process, but each cheese, the more you look into it, there's drastically different ways of going about it.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the cool stuff, one of the blues that we're going to try later on is one of my favorite blues, but it's very rustic and earthy. They make another cheese with the exact same milk and is from the exact same cows, but it's completely different. So it's really fun to see how you can start out with all the same stuff, use the same culture, same rennet, and provide a much different end game.
That's kind of like beer, how you can make the same beer but use a different strain of yeast, and it completely makes the beer different.
Oh, so, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's kind of, I found it kind of interesting that there's four ingredients in cheese and there's four ingredients in beer.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's try this. What was this? Irish?
Kulea. It's an Irish Gouda.
Irish Gouda.
I already ate mine.
Yeah. Oh, Craig.
I'm sorry.
I know, I'm going to take a bite.
It's good.
It's very good.
And it's good with that beer, too.
It is a little more on the dry side, but once you introduce that beer, it's a great match. And one of the questions I get a lot is, well, which one do I take first, the beer or the cheese? And that's all personal preference.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a cheese guy, so I go cheese first, just right. To see what that's like, and then finish it off with the beer. And then if you want to get crazy, just do them both at the same time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Are there any cheeses that you would say you just don't want to pair, like, that are just bad pairings. Like, some people may just do, dude, really, any cheese is going to be good with beer. Who cares? But, I mean, obviously, there are some that complement each other way better than...
Yeah, well, there are some cheese that are a little bit more difficult. The next one's going to be interesting because sheep's milk can be a little more difficult.
Yeah.
But I have one in mind. A poisse is a French wash rind cheese that's very, very funky.
Yeah.
And it might be interesting to see what you can do with that one.
Let's get weird.
I could see it being nice. Different.
I want to get my poisse on.
Yeah, so you're going to have to come
Wait,
to...
Wait, poisson?
A poisse.
That's fish. Poisson. No? Le poisson? No, nothing? Nothing?
Sorry.
Disney fans? No?
It's been the Beauty and the Beast? Is that what that's supposed to be?
What is that? No, it's not Beauty and the Beast. It's Little Mermaid.
Little Mermaid?
It has to be Little Mermaid, right?
It's been a while. I'm sorry.
Le poisson.
Oh, that's right.
With my cleaver, I hack them in two. Right?
No, yeah, that's yeah. That checks out.
That checks out.
It's a beautiful sound.
That's a great sound. Okay, so now we're on pairing number three. We have Zomerpils. It's a Bohemian-style Pilsner. One of the simplest beers that you can make. It has Pilsner malt. It also has Urkel yeast. It has Saaz hops und water. It is about as Reinheitsgebot-y as we get. So it's a very simple beer. Think about simple beers and having just a few key ingredients. There's not a lot to hide behind. You know, some people, if they have these really giant IPAs, you can hide some beer flaws behind that. Mm-hmm. So you got to get Pilsner just right.
All right, so right now we have Bianco Sardo. This is an Italian sheep's milk cheese. You had already mentioned about the beer that it's got kind of a grassy component.
Yeah.
And I think that is one of the reasons why I was drawn to this cheese, because you kind of get some of that earthy grassiness. This one's really cool because they wrap it with reeds that are actually found on the farm. So some of the sheep like to munch on those. Mm-hmm. But when they wrap it in that, you get a lot of the earthy, grassy components on the outside. And since the sheep eat that, it's going to be present in the cheese as well. But this one's definitely more on the drier side right now, but it's very buttery to me, kind of buttery, rich.
You're getting that?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of Italian sheep's milk cheese, like Pecorino's, can be very salty, and I think the salt level on this one is just perfect. And, you know, the pils is...
That
just nice and crisp.
Yeah, really crisp and really clean finish. And it has kind of like a little bit of a dry kind of finish at the very end, man. That's really good.
That's a great pairing. Does the way that you cut the cheese...
you just said it. I was waiting for somebody to say
it. It was going
to
happen eventually. But no, does the way that you cut, like if you're cooking, the way you chop garlic is going to influence how the garlic tastes. Right. Does the way that you cut cheese, because all of these cheeses that you've presented are all cut in a very... particular manner, it seems. Does it have an influence on flavor? What's the reason?
I think it does. I do know with Parmigiano Reggiano,
mm-hmm.
if you cut that just flat sides, it's going to change everything. That's why they have special tools to cut wheels of Parm open, because they want those natural breaks in the cheese.
Yeah.
Because it's going to create a lot more aromas and give you the full effect.
So just looking at this cheese, and I know it's, you know, we're in a hot sound booth right now. There's a little bit of a sheen to it. Is that oil coming out?
So sheep's milk is actually pretty high in butterfat. So once it's at room temp, it will start to sweat. If this were to sit out for a little bit longer, you can actually see little beads of oil coming out of it. Like I said earlier about going out to the Veldhuizen farms, that guy, he takes care of his land so well. And once you have somebody that truly cares about not just their animals, but their property,
mm-hmm.
they're going to feed them the highest quality grass.
You're right.
And take care of them very, very well. The funniest thing was cheese making process wasn't even his schedule. It's the cow's schedule. He tends to them.
That's kind of like beer. And you make beer and it's not ready until it's ready, the beer's ready.
The yeast will let us know. Yep.
Yeah, we just make sugar water. The yeast makes the beer.
That's right. Next up is Hop Trap. It's a Belgian IPA. People will say, well, there's no such thing as a Belgian IPA. I disagree. I'm Belgian and I developed this IPA.
Therefore,
ergo, it's a Belgian IPA. But there's a couple of things that make this a Belgian beer. At the core of this beer is the Westmalle yeast. It's a great yeast for Trappist-style beers. Not just that, but the hop bill on this beer is very European. It's got that really earthy, herbal, tea-like quality. We also add a touch of coriander in this beer because it adds a citrusy note without being a high citrus note. This beer has a lot going on, so I'm really excited to see what you've paired with it.
All right, so what I have is Fiscalini's Bandage Wrap Cheddar. Mm-hmm. So this is a cloth-bound wrap cheddar, but this one they're going to rub it with lard or olive oil and just set that up for aging for about 14 to 18 months. But since they do that, it's going to develop a stronger grassy, earthy component as opposed to being on the sweeter side. A little bit nutty at times, but I think cheddar's an IPA, best thing in the world.
Yeah, that's probably one of the best cheese and beer pairings there is. As soon as you eat that cheese, the bitterness kind of subsides and it becomes this really nice, fruity...
Brings out that spice really well.
Yeah, it's so good.
So I do want to reintroduce that triple cream.
All right. I'm not gonna complain.
Yeah, let's do this.
IPAs and triple creams, it might sound kind of weird, but you know, that rind's earthy and complex, and the beer's got that nice spice to it. It's also floral and spicy, and I just think it melds really well with the buttery.
Yeah. That's actually really good. Like, I mean, I would have normally said cheddar in an IPA, but that was awesome.
Yeah, that's really fun. You know, you're going from a cheddar that's really spicy to something that's hand-churned butter.
The way I set up the cheese is similar to the way you set up the beer if you're serving multiple things, you know, go from mildest to the most intense. And I've done some beer and cheese events, and I'll start with the Mount Tam that we just tried. I'll do like five or so beers for it. And first thing I say is I normally would not want to start a tasting off with an IPA.
Yeah.
But there are times where I can't help myself. It's just such a good match.
All right, what's next?
This is the one I'm most excited about.
Okay, so we have let our temptress sit out for a little bit, let it warm up. So are we doing two cheeses with this
one? We are.
Okay.
I get really excited about stouts and blue cheese.
Well, stouts just yes.
Just yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Just yes. In fact, blue cheese is, I think, the pairing on the bottle.
So this is Bay Blue from Point Reyes Farmstead Cheese Company out in California. This one's aged for about 90 days, but I think this is the most perfect dessert blue. It is chocolatey, rustic, gets some vanilla notes to it. A lot of times, people are familiar with blue cheese at the store, and they're like, just salt bombs. You know, you don't get much flavor.
Sure.
This one's just going to explode with flavor. Pairing it with something like the Temptress, where it's very roasty and chocolatey, it's just magical.
Okay, let's do this.
And after we talk about this first cheese, got to get back to really fun pairings, because there's one bite that is the most exceptional and amazing experience with that blue.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Zach is just wowing.
I'm just wowed. Yeah, because this, like you said, this isn't just salty tang. Like, there's stuff in this. Mm-hmm. Man.
I'm telling you, also, just a quick side note
for
beer.
Sweet.
Temptress Key, let this thing warm up.
It does have some sweetness to it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But like I said, take this cheese, and if you had a piece of dark chocolate, put the cheese on the chocolate and drizzle with honey, no bread, and it is the most mind-boggling experience you'll ever have.
Just shut up. just stop.
So let's talk about what makes blue cheese blue.
Well, when you have the milk, you're going to introduce Penicillium Rogue 4T. That's the mold. If you see a full wheel, you're going to see holes in the top. After it ages for a while, after it's set in the wheel, they're going to puncture it with needles. Mold needs air to survive. That's why if you saw a big slice of blue, there's probably going to be a very straight line. Mm-hmm. And that's all coming from the mold that they introduced to it in the milk at the beginning. But that's what's going to provide kind of like a spicy, salty punch to it. But blue cheese tends to be a bit saltier just because that's kind of how they control the blueing. If you don't have that salt factor, it's just going to overwhelm everything. But the second blue is Gorgonzola Picante. And this is actually a different mold variety, which I thought was kind of cool. It's Penicillium Glaucome. And this one looks different, tastes different. But this blue's got a nice little spice to it. The reason why I chose this one is I was thinking of the Mole Temptress. Because that's got a nice spice to it. Temptress with cheese that has a nice spice to it would kind of make you think of that one.
That's pretty cool.
And the beer just really cuts the creaminess and sort of the coating quality of the blue cheese really well, I think. And it's you need a very flavorful beer to stand up to a very flavorful cheese. Because if we were drinking this with Zomer.
Yeah.
It would just taste like water.
It would overpower.
Yeah, totally. The cheese would be totally overpowering the beer, but having that dark roast, and the little bit of the acidity of that roast, that roasted malt, I think really plays well with.
I really get the like that roasted coffee kind of note from on this cheese.
It's definitely one of those things where you have to match the intensity.
Yeah, almost tastes like a cold brew.
One of my favorite things to do with blue cheese is get a fresh fig, stuff it with blue cheese, wrap that bad boy in prosciutto, throw them on the grill, that prosciutto all crispy, crispy. Oh, my God. Blue cheese, prosciutto, fig poppers. Or if figs are not in season, dates, stuff those with blue cheese, wrap them in bacon, throw them in the oven, get the bacon all crispy, crispy.
What? Would you say that's a good snack to have with beer?
What?
So you're talking about an exotic fruit, cured meats, artisanal cheese. It's everything you need.
Yes, please.
Yeah. That's pretty good. So what other snackies would you recommend when you pair cheeses with beers? What other things complement? Obviously, bread is a good one that kind of is a...
Jams.
Jams, yeah.
I already told you I have a sweet tooth, so yeah. I'll find any jam and find something to put with it.
Yeah, honeys, things like that.
The Mount Tam goes amazingly well with like blackcurrant jams, but also tomato jams. Get something a little like peppery and spicy.
That's cool.
Yeah. But if you can imagine the Mount Tam spread on some bread with even just strawberry jams, like cheesecake.
Oh, yeah. Oh, man. That'd be good.
Pickles.
I'm a sucker for a noshi plate, man. Just give me some nuts, some cheese, some pickle things, some little kind of bread and a beer,
a cured meat of some kind.
I'm good to go.
Blue cheese and honey is also always a solid win.
Yeah, I can see how the sweetness and the saltiness kind of playing off each other. It'd be great. All right, guys, we're going to take a small break now, but when we come back, details on how you can try some of these awesome cheese pairings yourself, and as always, your listener mail. Okay, guys, and we're back. And if you want to try some of these incredible cheeses yourself, then check out the beer and cheese pairing event that we have coming up on Tuesday the 28th. Tell them about it, Craig.
Yeah, June 28th from 6:30 to 9 o'clock in our tap room. We are going to be hosting a little cheese and beer pairing with Tyler here. So you're going to be able to come out and try a lot of cool cheeses. You'll come in, you'll get an introductory pint, and then you will have a flight of four beers, and these are going to be some kind of cool beers. We have some upcoming releases that you're going to be excited to try, one of which will be our upcoming new Legendary Series beer, Troll Toll.
Troll Toll is going to burninate your tongue. Troll Toll's coming out. We're very excited about it. It is a double IPA. It contains a stupid amount of hops. I think it's the hoppiest beer that we've ever done. And we're very excited about it.
And then we're also going to have some red wine Till and Toil on the menu, so a little barrel-aged action that you can try with some cheese, and a couple other fun things. So, why just listen to us drink and eat cheese when you can come out to the tap room and do it yourself? So we're going to have all of the details up on our website and on our Facebook soon. We're going to have an Eventbrite set up where you can get tickets, and you can check all of that out.
Stay tuned for information on how you can get an exclusive $5 discount on those tickets just for being a listener to this podcast.
Well, Tyler, thank you so much for joining us and giving us all this awesome, awesome, awesome cheesy goodness. The pairings were quite great.
A delish.
Oh, delish.
I'm glad you enjoyed them, and I appreciate you bringing me out and giving me all that beer.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and if you want to go
tasty beer,
go see Tyler, go see him at Scardello. Two locations. What are the addresses? Do you know the addresses? One on Oak Lawn and one on
3511 Oak Lawn Avenue, and then Dallas Farmers Market in downtown.
Sweet.
Awesome.
Yeah, and come on out to the tap room June 28th and come see us all and come see Tyler.
Listener mail. It is time for listener mail.
Nobody asked you to do that.
Oh, wow. That's...
That's the new intro.
I like that.
All right.
That's the new intro.
Cool. All right. So a couple of fun ones here. Steven C. on Twitter, at MythRandier2398. Are there any other plans for any more Temptress adjuncts?
New Temptress varieties?
Yeah, that's
Is that the question? Iterations? We have been playing around with a couple of possible Temptress variants. I don't know if we want to release that right now. We have two in the works that we're really wanting to try and that we've been vetting out. But nothing is permanent yet. We may see a return of the Captain Crunch Temptress. For those of you who don't know of the myth of the Captain Crunch Temptress,
laying on us.
When was that? Was that the...
That was our...
Was that Halloween?
I think that was the Halloween Let's Get Weird party.
That was the first Halloween party that we did, and I think the first time we did it, we had all these firkins of Temptress with all different versions of Cap'n Crunch. We had peanut butter Cap'n Crunch.
Mm-hmm.
We had regular Cap'n Crunch.
And we had cinnamon... It was like a cinnamon Cap'n Crunch or something like that?
Something like that.
I don't remember.
Oops, all berries crunch?
Yeah.
Oops, I did it again crunch.
Yes.
It was Temptress Crunch.
Yeah. We'll see what happens. So, yeah, we do have some stuff in the works, long story short. Stay tuned.
Yeah, it's
a good beer to always just experiment with and do kind of...
Absolutely.
So we're always playing around with the Temptress. That came out wrong.
We should do Temptress Light.
Yes.
Do like a 3% Temptress.
I love it.
It'll be great.
Wouldn't that just be chocolate milk?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think he's right.
I think we just made chocolate coffee.
Kip sent us a question. It's kind of a doubleheader here, too, first, so we can take them one at a time.
Okay.
Do you have hop contracts with growers directly, or do we use a broker?
We generally use a broker. We have hop contracts out about 5 years right now. Hops are a commodity, which means that they grow in the soil. They're not always available. Sometimes a tornado comes through or a hailstorm comes through or you have a drought.
Mm-hmm.
And it can completely decimate an entire hop yard or an entire hop growing region, which is what we saw back in 2007, 2008, 2009. Where we had the big hop shortage, we had a drought in Germany, and I think Yakima had a pretty bad day too. So we try to contract those out as far as possible. You know, making sure that we don't over contract, we don't under contract. It is a very complicated spreadsheet, and it also takes a shaman and a rain dance to kind of figure out how to do that. So, you know, we're always looking out for new varieties as well. We just got a new hop variety in called Denali, a.k.a. Nuggetzilla, which we are very excited about. Going to be doing some cool stuff with that probably next year. So the cool thing is that with the rise of craft beer, there's also this big drive for the hop growers to come out with a new cool hop, right? It used to be that, you know, it was just sort of your general Centennial Cascade kind of hops, and now the growers are really, really pushing high alpha hops. I mean, so it's always a challenge to make sure that you have your hop contracts, that you have access to the cool new hop, and you know, we're all kind of playing in that game.
Yeah, everyone's looking for that new Simcoe or that new Mosaic, for that new cool hot hop that's coming out.
The tricky thing is, you know, once you find a hop that you like, say you release a beer with that hop and it takes off, now you're stuck with not enough hops.
Mm-hmm.
So that's always you know, something that you have to consider. So, good question.
Cool. And Kip's asked us another one. How do you help aspiring brewers or brewery owners get to the next level?
You know, I don't want to say granddaddies of the brewing scene, since we're less than 4 years old right now, but, you know, we've been around a little bit longer than some of the new guys, and we've always been very open to apprenticeship programs. American Brewers Guild has an apprenticeship program where, you know, I did my apprenticeship at RAR. We've had American Brewers Guild apprentices come through and have gone to open up their own Texas breweries, which is great. As a brewery, we want to be a force of change and make sure that, you know, we have educated people out there. You know, we want to be an extension of the school, that practical knowledge. And it makes friends, you know. The guys that have come through the program have come through our brewery, that have gone on to either other breweries or that have opened up their own. We're all still friends with, which is great. It makes for a bigger brewing community. You know, we all try and help each other out as much as we can.
Also, when will it air?
When will what air?
The episode.
Oh,
yeah.
It'll be airing now because you're listening
now.
to it.
We're listening right now. We are inside your ears.
We are in your head. Kip. So, up this month, we got Craig telling you about all the cool things that are happening this month.
Yeah, a lot of fun stuff. Actually, this weekend is Untapped Fort Worth going on, the Untapped Festival. We've been doing this since the very first Untapped, and it is probably one of our most favorite events. So we're going to be out there in Fort Worth. We're going to be bringing some awesome beers with us. On Sunday, June 19th, is our monthly glass series at the Tap Room. This month, we are going to be featuring our brand new Legendary Series beer, Troll Toll, which is a big, danky double IPA. And we are going to have a super hot, sexy Spiegelau IPA glass that you can come into the tap room, purchase the glass, and you get to keep the beer inside of it.
Pretty cool glass.
It's an awesome glass. I'm very excited about
that glass. You got to come in on June 19th. Mm-hmm. We're going to be open, tap rooms open 12 to 6, and it is first come, first serve. Get there quick and early. Just saying.
Yeah. Just saying. Whatever you want to do with that. You know,
You get there late, no bitching.
Ball's in your court.
Yeah. But you can always check our other upcoming events. You can go to lakewoodbrewing.com. And go to our calendar and check out all of the upcoming events that we're going to have all over the place, as well as in our tap room.
Well, that wraps it up for our beer and cheese pairing episode of Tap Room Talks. Thank you so much, Tyler, from Scardello Artisan Cheese Company for being here and taking us through this yummy, yummy journey with all the awesome, awesome cheeses that you brought. And thanks, Zach. Thanks, Craig. And thank you to our listeners. We'll be back next month.
We'd like to thank White Reaper for the use of this month's theme song, On Your Mind, from the album White Reaper Does It Again. If you like the song and want to support the artist, you can go check them out at whitereaper.bandcamp.com or follow them on Twitter at WhiteReaperUSA. Or you could see them and us live this Saturday, June 11th at Untapped Fort Worth. It's a killer lineup of bands, beers, and breweries. You can check out the full listing on untapped-festival.com. Don't forget, anyone who wants to join us on our beer and cheese tasting event of Fellowship of Fermented Foods, use the offer code PODCAST as you check out for $5 off your ticket price. That's PODCAST at checkout. Save you $5. Okay, guys, I think that's all I've got. So until next month, see you, Space Cowboy.
That is so good. Mm-hmm. I want to have that for dessert all the time. This just went south real quick.
We're really devolving into just guttural noises.
We want to assure everyone our pants are all still on right now.
Well, he'll take it out in post.
Mm-hmm.
Or will I?
Mm-hmm.